Good afternoon. We're going to now discuss how Healthy People has done over the last decade. You have this huge framework. Well, what are we finding? And I have no relationships to disclose. So, Healthy People, where have we been? So, hopefully by the end of this presentation, you'll have a sense of what happened over the last decade. And I'll give you a little taste of what we're looking at for the next decade. Where are we going? So if you were here at the beginning, you know that I'm with the National Center for Health Statistics, and we have an unusual role in that not only are we, of course, part of CDC, but we also are the statistical advisor to the department. And one of the key roles that involves for our office is supporting ODPHP, the Office of Disease Prevention and Health Promotion, and all of the Healthy People technical, the data compilation and analysis, and the whole issues around measuring. You've got all of these hundreds of objectives. They need to be measured, and they need to be statistically sound. So our role is really to undergird all of the data and consultation for Healthy People. As part of that, we maintain a database. And you can imagine if you have, for 2020 now, we have 1,200 objectives coming from couple hundred data sources. We're almost like a database of databases. So it's a pretty tall task, and we have an amazing crew of people who help make all of this happen. In addition to all of the individual objectives for Healthy People, you probably saw there are these overarching goals, and so we continue to develop research on how do we measure, you know, healthy life and extending life in that's not just extended, but it's healthy life. Health disparities are another, reducing them. How do you measure that? How do you quantify health disparities? And of course, like today, we are trying to figure out ways to present all of these findings. When you have hundreds of objectives, how do you present the findings in a way that people can really make meaning out of it? And I'm happy to say I think we've done a good job for the last decade, and we're always in this, you know, process of how can we continue to improve the way we present data. So we launched a couple weeks ago the Healthy People 2010 final review, and Dr. Koh released that along with Dr. Sondik, the head of NCHS. It is an end-of-decade assessment of the progress. So it's a 600-page compendium on how did we do over the last decade. It's online, and the URL will be at the end of the presentation. We have a summary of findings. We have visuals, and this is what I was referring to. I'll show you how progress is shown. There's a technical appendix if you have particular issues about how do we measure something. It goes into detail. And for those of you who have favorite objectives from 2010, we have a crosswalk so you can see, well, what happened to the objectives in 2010 that I care about? There's a crosswalk to show you whether it made it into 2020. And as Carter talked about, there were overarching goals for 2010. There were only two, although there were two very big ones, increasing the quality and years of healthy life. And I'll go into how we did for that, you know, for that goal over the decade. And then eliminating health disparities across a whole host of characteristics. What you'll see as we get into this is there aren't a lot of data available for these hundreds of objectives. But where we had data, we report on it. So goal one is life expectancy at birth, and what you can see there is the green bar is at the beginning of the decade, and the blue bars are more recent. And so what's nice to see is that life expectancy has increased for all of us. You will also note that for blacks and whites, there's a bit of a disparity. So the good news is we're all living longer, and the bad news is there's a disparity between groups. Now, what's interesting, for life expectancy at age 65, that's also increased, not just at birth, but for people who are older. We also were able to layer on with life expectancy also a measure of health. And so you can see here, here's an interesting finding, that again, the green bar is the beginning of the decade and the blue bar is more recent, that we're living longer in good or better health and free of activity limitations. So that's a really good finding. So not only are we living longer, but we're living longer in good health, free of activity limitation. However, we are not living long with free of chronic disease. So this is kind of a double-edged sword, because what this means is people have 2 or 3 years after the age of 65 where they're free of chronic disease, but then they might have 12 years, even with the chronic disease, they self-report that they're free of activity limitation or they're in good or better health. So that means somebody, some of you are doing some really good work around disease management. There are some limitations with these data. They don't include mental health issues, and they don't include institutionalized populations. But for the walking around folks, this is really good news, and I think that's a really great outcome for the last decade. And hopefully, as we go forward, we'll find that the even if the free of chronic disease, you know, remains pretty low, and we only have a couple years of that after 65, that we continue to do a good job with the disease management activities. Oops. So this is an overall summary. Not all the slides showed all of this, but basically women have a longer life expectancy than men. However, a greater proportion of that longer life is in an unhealthy state. Blacks have a shorter life expectancy than whites, and they live a greater proportion of their life in unhealthy states compared with whites. It's not not a surprising finding when you see the rest of this presentation. As I said, the good news is over the most of the last decade, our most recent data point was 07. The expected years in good or better health and free of activity limitation did increase. So the only thing that we're finding is that, you know, people are living with chronic diseases. So now, you saw on Carter's slide, we had over 900 objectives for the last decade. Of these, three quarters were measurable. A quarter of them either the objective was dropped or we only had a baseline, so we weren't able to follow up what happened with it. So of the objectives, three quarters were measurable, and of those three quarters, here's what we found. 24% moved in the wrong direction, but 71% moved in the right direction. So 48% moved toward, 23% met or achieved, and together that's 71%. So that's not a bad finding for the decade, especially when you start to see some of the targets that we were hoping to achieve. They're fairly aspirational, pretty high targets. This slide points to, it's a little busy, but look at the bottom, 1 through 28. Those are the 28 focus areas in Healthy People 2010. And what you'll see is that whether you look at Area 1, which is access to health, had 70 objectives, and then some of the other focus areas had only 10 or so. And so the point of showing you this is there's real variability across the Healthy People framework. Just gives you a sense that each work group comes up, you know, with measures that they think, you know, represent the health status. However, we have limitations with data. We can only, you know, measure objectives for which data are available. It's a little bit of a catch-22 because you want more data to measure certain objectives, but you can't measure the objectives if the data don't exist. So in terms of findings, the thing to note here is where you see the yellow, that's not so good. And nutrition and overweight is where we just flat out failed. We didn't have a single objective meet or exceed its target for nutrition and overweight. We did fantastic. Whoever in this room is doing occupational safety and health, you guys, you win. You had the most number, I think over 90% of your objectives moved toward or met the target. So well done. So we're really happy with our new progress chart. And just as I showed you, there are 28 focus areas. We have a progress chart that lists out all the objectives for each of the 28 focus areas for 2010. So this is the left side of the progress chart. And what I'm using here to demonstrate are the leading health indicators, which obviously are the measures that are representative of the entire Healthy People framework. So you can see there for immunization, 71%, that particular objective moved 71% toward its target. So it didn't quite make its target. You look down at access to health care, and you can see source of ongoing care actually exceeded its particular target. And when you throw in the data, you can actually see that for the immunization, the top one there, the baseline was 73% of young children were fully immunized. The final was 78%, and the target was 80%. So that 71% is really telling you we almost got there, but we didn't quite make our target of 80%. Just to note, you see the persons with health insurance went in the wrong direction. The neat thing about this chart is even if some of the objectives, you want more of something, you want more children immunized, and you want less of some things, you see 19A hospitalizations, you want less of those, But the way this chart is formatted, everything good happening goes to the right, whether it's an adverse objective or a positive objective, and anything you don't want goes to the left. One thing to note, though, is that the red bar going left is not proportional. In other words, it doesn't tell you how badly that objective did. It just says it did badly. That's not statistically proportioned. But the bars that go to the right are. So that's how this chart is set up, so you can quickly go down a whole list of objectives and see how did we do. So on physical activity, not a whole lot of movement in the right direction. Obesity, we both went in the wrong direction. Tobacco, we did very well on. That's an area, although the targets were really high, so it doesn't look like, it said we made 25% of the way toward the target, but in fact, we had a statistical significant drop in from 24% to 21% of cigarette use by adults, was pretty good outcome for the decade. Overall, of the 28 focus areas, you'll see the top five. So mental health and mental disorders did very well on its objectives. A lot of that has to do with the objectives that they chose. Health communication, occupational self-safety and health, like I mentioned, tobacco use, and environmental health all did really well. Of course, we have to have a worst of. Nutrition and overweight, over 3/4 of the objectives did not move toward their targets. They actually moved away from their targets. Arthritis, osteoporosis, and chronic back conditions. Also, over half of the objectives moved away from their targets. Family planning, STDs, vision and hearing also didn't do so well. Over a third of their objectives moved in the wrong direction. So what's nice when you do these overview looks is you can just get a big picture look at how we're doing. Moving on to goal 2 for 2010 was the elimination of health disparities. And the way Healthy People 2010 assesses health disparity is we look at the quantity that separates a group from a reference point for a particular health indicator. And so for 2010, what we did was we used the best group. So whatever group did the best, let's say you did the best on immunizations, we compared all the other groups to that one, because we figured if somebody was already achieving that, in theory, it's achievable by the other groups. So I'm going to spill the beans and then I'll go into the details. But the big picture is that health disparities between populations were observed for many, many objectives. There was very little change. For 4 out of 5 objectives, we saw no change over the decade. In fact, for some of them, they got worse, although for a few of them, they also got better. So the conclusion, sort of the takeaway message, is that health disparities persist in the U.S. This is the basic sort of 50,000-foot view of all of the objectives that had race and ethnicity data. It's a little busy, so let me break it down for you. So you look at the bars that are white, and those are the number of objectives where that particular group was the best. And so what we find there is that white non-Hispanics were the best group in 51% of the objectives, whether it was a rate or a number. They were the 51% of the time, they were the best group rate by which all the others were compared. For 42% of the objectives, we combined Asians and Asian Pacific Islander together. For black non-Hispanic, 20% of the objectives, they were the best group. For Hispanic or Latinos, 17% of the objectives, they were the best group. And American Indian, Alaska Native, they were 6% of the objectives. So it gives you a sense of the real issue that we have on our hands here. And the data just, pop right out at you. It just tells you we've got a long way to go in getting, we have these national targets, and in many cases we meet them, but for whole populations, they're nowhere near. And some of the slides I'll show you will illustrate that. Then there's the issue of change over the decade. So this particular slide, pay attention over to the right-hand side. We only had 169 objectives for which we could evaluate change, and of those, 117, there was no change. So that's the big story, no change. For the objectives where there was change, you can see the pink and red, and those are just gradations of, unfortunately, worsening. So those represent all the objectives where the disparity got worse. And the green shows there are actually a handful of objectives where the disparity improved. And that's the whole thing together. So you can see race, ethnicity, you can see for sex, there are 216 objectives for which we could assess change over the decade. this slide doesn't show you, but more often than not, females had the better rates or statistics. And of those 167, there was no change. You can see for 23 of them, they got worse, and for 26 objectives, they actually improved. Going down the list, basically the main thing you can see there is we didn't have a lot of data for many objectives. We only had income for 75 objectives on which we could assess change. So this is the big picture. You know, the news really is there just wasn't a lot of change. I think one of our staff in the room here, the expert on this, I think 4 out of 5 there was no change, I think is where we landed. So just to give you a quick sense on some of the take more time? Okay. To give you a sense on the findings of sort of the indicators of greatest interest, overall cancer mortality, as you can see, went down over the decade. So, you know, we're doing a good job. I think it went down by 11%. And as a total, we didn't meet our target. But look what happens when you overlay the populations. See, here's where you start to see everybody improved, everybody went down, but the lines are parallel. So that means there's still a huge disparity between the various populations. So this gives you a sense of what we're talking about here in terms of the findings, where they're good overall, but not good enough for everyone. This was a rare objective where not only did we, on a national basis, meet the target, but all of the populations actually met or exceeded the target as well. So this is something where clearly there's been some good work happening in prevention and maintenance and disease management. So this is the good news, and it's one of the few where we can say everybody did really well. Although even on this one, there's still a huge amount of disparity. So you all know the bad news about adult obesity. Again, the green bar is earlier in the decade, and the blue bar is more recent. And everybody went up. You can see that some groups went up more than others. You can see there's huge increases for whites, for blacks, for Mexican Americans, for females, and for males. And you can see where the 2010 target was, down I think at 15. Pretty aspirational there. And you know, we didn't even go in the right direction. Same for children. I mean, if you look at everybody got worse. Trying to think, I think it went from 11% to 18%, and the target was 5%. So yeah, this is where we have a lot of work to do. High blood pressure control, here's some good news. So despite all of this obesity, we are controlling high blood pressure. So if you look again from the green earlier in the decade to the blue more recently, nice increases in blood pressure control for all groups. You can see some groups are doing better than others. Whites clearly are doing better than the other two groups. Females are doing better than males. And you can see we had a really aspirational target up there. So they didn't, you know, healthy people didn't get credit this last decade for all of that good improvement. My sense, Carter, is that the 2020 targets are a little more achievable. And I would say if we'd had a target there of 40%, you know, which still isn't, is not a lot of people, but we would have met it. So, but the news all around on this one is good. We also did well on cigarette smoking for adults. You know, everybody went down. Some went down more than others. But what we're finding, unfortunately, is there's a leveling off. So if you look over the last several decades, what's happened is there was a precipitous decline when the initial cessation work was going on. And now we seem to be down to a hardcore 20% or so of people who have not quit. And we haven't found a way to really get that number to go much lower. We'll see what happens over the next decade, if whether that curve will continue to level off or whether we can get it to go down. Infant mortality is another one of those indicators, you know, mixed results. I mean, the first thing that hits me is, I mean, look at the incredible disparity between blacks and everybody else. It's just not good news. And unfortunately, this is another one where we have leveled off. So there was a huge amount of progress over the last century, and now we seem to be sort of in a holding pattern. So there's a lot of work. You know, that's what healthy people does for us. It points to where we, you know, if we have scarce dollars, where do we need to point to? You know, clearly this is one area where we have a long way to go, especially if you do international comparisons. We are way behind. I'm sure you've all seen those. You know, we're something like 40th compared to other first world nations. So The key takeaways here are we did make significant progress towards achieving the objective. 71% of them moved forward or met their targets. The bad news is that we have persistent health disparities across the population. 4 out of 5 objectives didn't show any improvement, and there were only a handful of changes in the right direction, but they were kind of washed out by those that actually went in the wrong direction, where the disparities increased. Obesity seems to be where we have a lot of work to do. We went in the wrong direction on most of the objectives in that focus area, so long way to go there. And I would say if we're going to target our resources, that would be the place to do it. And I always have to put in a plug for data. We can't do any of this work if we don't have data. And of course, it's one thing to have the big picture, but as you can see, when you can't drill down to the subpopulations, you're missing the whole story, because it's only when you can drill down that you start to see, where there's a real, where the story is. In terms of data sources, 45% of the objectives were measured by 4 data sources, all of which come out of the National Center for Health Statistics. I'd say that's our best buy in terms of our federal tax dollars. It's a very low-dollar agency. The center doesn't get a lot of funding, and all of that is done through those four surveys, as well as the vital statistics, actually 3 surveys in the vital statistics. But the remaining over half, 55% of the objectives, were measured by more than 150 data sources. And so that's where our work is. We're at the mercy of all kinds of surveillance systems and other people's data collection efforts, and we just can't say enough, in the middle of these budget times, don't cut the data, whatever you do, because without the data collection, we can't tell you whether your programs are working or not. So that's why the last bullet there says, many objectives lack critical demographic specificity. I pointed out the fact that, in some cases we only had, 100 or 200 objectives where we can measure change by subgroup, and that's an area I think we really need to improve on. So for 2010, which obviously was last year, all of the data are stored in Data 2010, and the URL is there in red. This website is almost done. We're doing one last round of QC and verification, and then, as I like to say, it'll be fossilized. So we will leave it up for the foreseeable future as a neat way of being able to cut the data, or search the data rather, by focus area, by data source. It's handy. It was good for its time. It looks a little, if you look at the printout, the output, it looks a little old, but it gets the job done. And like I said, it will be there for the foreseeable future, so that we can go back and look at what happened over the last decade. And also, you can download the data if you want to combine it with other data that you have. So moving forward to 2020, so what do we see moving forward? So again, you noted probably that we didn't have a lot of ways we could break down the data. We could break it down by race and ethnicity, by sex, and by education or family income. There were some optional population characteristics such as age, geography, and disability. So that was how the data were optimally collected for the last decade, and as you saw, we were missing a lot of that specificity. So this is a big advance for 2020. The idea is that we will collect all of these characteristics moving forward, and you saw that 45% of the data come from sources like the National Health Interview Survey, where we might actually be able to get some of these characteristics, not only, the usual, but some more detail on education, on family income, family type, health insurance. And then we've added, and it's optional, and we're working out, Carter's office is working out where we're going to also attempt to include sexual orientation data, chronic conditions, people in nursing homes, people in active duty, people in prisons, marital status, veteran status, and obesity status, amazingly enough. So this is what our hope is, but again, it's only as good as the collection system. So any of us who have the ability to pull any levers on data collection, I'd say pull them. So in terms of the crosswalk between 2010 and 2020, this whole document, it's 30 pages or so, is found in the Healthy People 2010 Final Review Appendix D. And you can see down the left-hand side, this is a snapshot from a page, are the numbers of all of the objectives. So what you can see here is that for the first objective, 711A, that was archived, meaning we used it in 2010 and it didn't come over into 2020. The second objective there, 711B, was dropped altogether. If you go down, we're in focus area 8, environmental health. You can see the first seven objectives, 81A through G, all got collapsed into environmental health 1. So that's the new 2020 objective. Moving down to 8.4 from 2010, moving into the 2020 iteration of Healthy People, that one actually got split out into three new objectives. So there's a crosswalk. It has all of the objectives from 2010. You can see what happened to them, whether they were archived, whether they were dropped, whether they got, you know, joined or spread out. It's an interesting exercise we went through to figure that out. And as Carter mentioned, we now have this wonderful healthypeople.gov website. It's a beautiful resource. It's probably a great case example of government putting together a really user-friendly website. And the data for 2020 at this point are viewable in the warehouse. And so you can see, as similar to a slide Carter showed, there's an icon. If you go to a particular 2020 objective, this one is NWS9, which means nutrition and weight status. That's what the little code there is, reduce the proportion of adults who are obese. If you go down there, you can see the baseline, the target, and the target setting, but then you can go to the warehouse, and if you click on that, and you end up in this thing called the Health Indicators Warehouse. It's not a Healthy People specific website, but it is a website where there's the data for a whole host of health indicators that NCHS manages for the department. And so what happens is you can pull up data, and you'll see whatever's available for the baseline, and it also includes what we call the metadata, or all the information about the objective. So the numerator, the population, which is the denominator, the methodology, the survey questions that were used to collect a particular objective, and it's all stored right there for the time being. And if you want to go straight to the Health Indicators Warehouse and not go through Healthy People, it's just healthindicators.gov. And there's actually, you'll see down there over on the right-hand side, there are four initiatives that have supplied data to the Health Indicators Warehouse: the County Health Rankings, which you might be familiar with, Community Health Status Indicators, this initiative, Healthy People 2020, CMS has indicators. And so all of the indicators are in there and can be viewed. Healthy People makes up about 80% of the Health Indicators Warehouse right now. The data in the warehouse are pre-constructed. There's no individual level data. It's mostly at the national level, but there is some state and local. And it does have a lot of information on the metadata. You know, where did the data come from? In terms of what the role for NCHS is in continuing to support ODPHP and the entire 2020 framework, we're always looking for new ways and brainstorming on how to measure progress, how to measure and display change. We have a wonderful researcher on board who came to our office in February helping us with health disparity measurement. We're always looking at ways of measuring summary measures of population health. And last but not least, we are working on easier to use data displays. You saw that data 2010 was a little outdated looking. So we are working with ODPHP on creating what I think will be some really neat web interfaces, so you can look at the 2020 data, and then over the decade we'll be able to track it. And I would be remiss if I didn't say that all of this was made possible by this team of people, some of whom are in the room. These are the programmers, the statisticians, the epidemiologists who all pulled all the data for this presentation and the 660-page final review, which has more detail on it. And for those of you who know Healthy People, Richard Klein really was the mastermind behind all of what you saw here. He was the branch chief for the last few decades. He retired earlier this year. But really, what I've just presented is the work of all of those people. I just came on board in January. And really, without them, you know, all of this wouldn't have happened. And if you want more information, we've got a whole bunch of websites. I mean, basically, if you go to healthypeople.gov, you can get shunted over to all of these. But there's the healthindicators.gov, and then the Healthy People website at CDC is just cdc.gov, NCHS, and then you just go to Healthy People. So all of that's there, and the entire final review is also up on the web. We will have printed versions available early next year. But most people only want a single, you know, you don't necessarily need the whole thing. You might want one focus area, and you can just pull that down in PDF off the web. So thank you very much.